Grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to tell you, last Trinity Sunday, I was here also, and I opted, as I talked to Kathy, not to preach on the Trinity because it was just a hard doctrine to understand. This year, I opted to preach on the Trinity because I felt you didn't need a Lutheran sermon on justification by faith, which is Romans 5. But if you do want one sometime, come see me. I love a good mystery. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I bet there are many of you out there who love a good mystery too. Let's face it, people love watching and reading mysteries because it is a safe thrill, is it not? You can be in the recliner and have a drink beside you and journey off through vision or reading through this great adventure, visiting exotic and interesting places and seeing creatures you've never seen before. On a basic level, we read and watch mysteries to escape, sometimes into brilliant prose and those fascinating stories. But we also find ourselves instantly involved in the characters' lives and being there with them, feeling what they feel, seeing what they see, experiencing their emotional journey. But I also love a great mystery because you can see the dark side of people. And you know, in the end, justice will prevail, that good always overcomes evil, at least in a book and on a movie. There is so much evil in our world that in some ways I love being a part of a solution, being on the winning team, capturing villains and killers, and righting wrongs. And I also love that in mysteries there are puzzles to solve. It's kind of magical. What happens is that our worldview grows. Sometimes we combat loneliness, and sometimes it helps us how to figure out and connect to our world. We learn about how others live and see the world, opening up our perspectives and our experiences. And you and I, the reader or the watcher, must piece together the clues. And if you do, then and you're one step ahead of the detective, hoorah, smarter than Perrault, Perry Mason, the Hardy Boys, and even Stephanie Plum. More than a puzzle, though. Mysteries help us cope with the psychological and the emotional concept of death and our own mortality. Ah, but in a mystery, death makes perfect sense. Or at least it does by the time the sleuth has solved the crime and brought the killer to justice. He or she uses their brain power, gray cells if you're Perrault, to deduce the truth behind the facade that the killer has created. Which brings us full circle to the idea of justice. In a mystery, death is explained through reasoning. Truth is discovered for just a while, then death, the one thing we cannot escape and can never understand, makes sense. And in some ways, we can accept it. Now, with my abilities as a sleuth, I'm having difficulty with that word this morning, I am a tad bit bewildered, therefore, by the statement in our gospel. There are things that are essential to our faith, but I can't speak about them now because you would not be able to understand. They are far too complicated and way over your head. Really? Of course, the reality is that there are many dimensions of our life in God that we don't understand, that they are a mystery. And we may not understand until we're seated at that heavenly banquet. In preparation for that day, as I've said before, I'm keeping track of a long list of questions that I want answered. And I suspect you too have such a list. Likewise, I feel confident that I stand in a long line of people who have asked questions. Moses certainly wanted to know, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them, Moses asked. Who is this God who has called us? What are your questions? Because so much seems unanswered. Therefore, it is disconcerting each and every time I come upon Jesus' observation that I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear to say them to you now. Well, what are they? Tell us. Don't leave us hanging. We want to know. We can take it. We can handle it. We've heard about so many things from you already. You told us that we are to be merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. And you explained that we should not worry. You reminded us that we are to love God and love our neighbor. And you told us that things would not always be easy or go smoothly for us. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me, you said in Mark. The call to take up our cross is definitely a hard saying. What else could you have possibly told us? What else did we miss? In this brief portion from Jesus' farewell sermon, we are not told what those many things are, only that Jesus won't tell us. But we are told that in the future, in the unfolding of time, we will be told them. And we are told how we will hear of them. It is the Spirit of truth who will guide us, who will speak to us and declare all there is to us that we need to know. We are given a portrait of three persons of the Trinity. Jesus speaks of himself and of the Spirit's activities and of the Father. Now, the Holy Trinity is definitely one of those difficult, challenging, thought-provoking doctrines of our faith. We are told it is a mystery, and we should not think of it as an exam question that must be answered before we will be admitted to that heavenly banquet. Nor is the concept of the Trinity an IQ test to identify the superior intellects and weed out those who are not worthy. Throughout John's Gospel, we are given glimpses of the Spirit. And in John's Gospel, the Spirit is associated primarily with Jesus. In fact, we are told that Jesus said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And we are told John the Baptizer gives witness to the fact that after baptizing Jesus, he says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. He has been told that this would be the sign that this person would be the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Early in his ministry, Jesus introduced the Spirit into his conversation with the Pharisee Nicodemus. How central is the Spirit, you might ask me? Well, Jesus declares that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. That was in the third chapter of John. And Jesus explained to the unnamed Samaritan woman, God is Spirit, in the fourth chapter. But it is during his farewell message that Jesus most fully explores and explains the Spirit that he was to give to his disciples. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit in John 20. And in his farewell message and prayer, Jesus weaves that connection between God and God the Father and himself and the Spirit. Now, we've been exploring all of those relationships in a roundabout way during the season of Easter as it has come to an end. How are we to know God? We know God because we have known Jesus. In his prayer, Jesus reminds us, you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them. The proclamations he made, what Jesus taught, were, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Jesus speaks the words of the Father and the Spirit. The Paraclete will not speak on his own, we are told, but will speak whatever he hears from Jesus. The Father speaks to Jesus, who speaks to the Spirit, who will guide you into all truth, John 16 says. So the Holy Trinity is clearly about relationship and indwelling. It is about collaboration and the self-communication of God. The Trinity is about the mutuality of God within the Godhead and about our invitation into that Godhead by Jesus through the power of the Paraclete. It is also about our mutuality with each other, guiding and speaking and declaring to one another the glory of God, God the Creator, the Father, God the Son, the Redeemer, and God the Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is our way of life, made possible by God. And this becomes good news, for so often our temptation is to tear apart the fabric of society, to put others down. But we see in the Holy Trinity a God who unites and a God who glorifies. So often our impulse is to separate ourselves from that which challenges us. But we see in the Holy Trinity a God who is eternally steadfast. So often we limit our reality or our possibilities so that they fit into our own finite understanding. But it is through the Holy Trinity that we see a God who promises to lead us into all truth and into that deeper mystery. So today, let us not try to explain something that is unfathomable after I've spent 20 minutes. Let us give thanks that this triune God loves us more than we can ever imagine. And let us give praise for our God's everlasting presence in our lives in this age, and we know for the age to come. And let us savor a God who offers us the very best mystery of all, a love that is beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. Amen.